welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. I'm joined by Matt.
Hello.
As part of our... See, I talked over him.
Sorry. Hello.
I was just going to say it's part of our ongoing series about how you get inspired by anything you watch on TV to play games.
Yeah, absolutely. Complete hobby whore.
So, today we are talking about moderns.
Yeah, so I suggest I will probably talk quite a lot. Mike will probably not talk a lot because it's got guns in and we know he doesn't really like games with guns.
Yes.
So, inspiration. From a film point of view, I mean, the one that really sort of kicked off a lot of modern gaming recently was when Black Hawk Down came out, which was a brilliant Ridley Scott film. I mean, I'd read the book beforehand anyway, but it's a great action, well, I guess action film, perhaps it's not the right term, but it's a film about modern conflict. And more recently, and funny enough, I have it on the television on mute as we speak, the film Lone Survivor, which has just come out with Mark Wahlberg in, about kind of a SEAL team's mission in Afghanistan. And there was an HBO miniseries as well called Generation Kill, which if you've not seen it, I'd certainly recommend checking it out, about a unit's experience going through Iraq during the Second Gulf War. So, you know, there's a lot of kind of cinematic stuff out there to watch. But also, for certain gamers of a certain age that are geeks, there's a lot of games out there on the Xbox and similar consoles. Things like Call of Duty and the Battlefield and Bad Company series and the Tom Clancy Ghost Recon. And for me, because, you know, I read books, the Tom Clancy books and Harold Coyle books, Teen Yankee and the like as well. You know, there's a lot of stuff around modern gaming. So if you don't have a total aversion to guns, you know, it's quite a big period to get into.
See, I like the Tom Clancy books.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, bless him, we've lost him recently. But, you know, that kind of techno thriller, you know, There will be bits in it that just make you think, actually, yeah, I'd quite like to have a game of that. I'll run through a few rule sets. They're ones that I have experience of. I do fully understand, and I'm sure as people listen to this, they will tweet, what about this, what about that?
We do tend to get yelled at when we miss out rule sets in these.
Yeah, absolutely. So the caveat is, these are rule sets that I have some experience with, therefore I feel I'm able to comment on. Starting with Force on Force, which are published by Osprey. They grew out of the Ambush Alley Games stable. I've been a fan of them since the very beginning. I will declare myself as being very interested in them from the start. Started off as kind of a what they called an asymmetric warfare game, which is kind of regular troops against guerrillas, and were developing nicely, and then got picked up by Osprey to be published, written by Sean Carpenter, I think, out in America. Great rule sets, have some really interesting mechanisms in there, non-scale specific as well, so you can go kind of, they are individually based figures, so you're kind of talking really realistically sort of 15s up to 28s. And there do have a lot of source books out there now for them, covering things like Cold War Gone Hot. There's a Vietnam source book. There's a Bush Wars source book. So they cover a lot of ground. Very, very good set of rules. I'd recommend them. Another rule set that came out of the Mongoose publishing stable was a rule set called Battlefield Evolution. Originally came out and I think suffered at the hands of the pre-painted plastic figures.
I was going to say, I knew that name. That was when Mongoose tried that whole...
The pre-painted, almost the...
Horrible figures.
They were the figures were terrible. In their defense, their initial kind of pre-samples were quite good, but a lot of the production quality ones, they had some real... quality control issues around them, some scaling issues as well. And I think really that kind of killed the rule set. The rule set themselves, and I think they're now available as a PDF from places like RPG Now and the like, actually a really good set of kind of modern skirmish rules. It's points driven, so they're great for pickup games. You know, you can agree a points value and have some ultra modern tech in there. So very good fun. One that I would recommend as well. AK-47, probably my favourite set of Modern Warfare rules from Peter Pigg, specifically written around kind of the African wars, the brush wars with African warlords. I know with modern wargaming there is some feeling from people that it's a little too close to home or it's a little too current. If you can get past that, and they are in no way kind of trivializing the absolute horror of some of these African tribal wars, but my God, they're a good fun set of rules. They're now in their at least third or fourth iteration and have become increasingly well polished and well written as they've gone. Multiple figure basing, so it's kind of three figures on a 30 by 30 base, as are most of the Peter Pig rules, but have a real flavour of the unpredictability of kind of warfare at that level. In fairness, I'm recommending all of them. All of the rules that I talk about, I recommend. With the possible exception of the next one, because I've not played them for a long time, Flames of War have expanded their kind of rule set out of World War II. They did what was a gimme rule book on the front of War Games Illustrated a while back called Tropic Lightning, which is their kind of entry into the Vietnam stable. But I have noticed, not that I've got them, but I've noticed they're branching now into some Arab-Israeli stuff as well. Very accessible for people. We've talked about Flames of War before, kind of grew out of people who were involved in 40K down in New Zealand. So, you know, mechanisms will be familiar to anyone who's played kind of Epic or 40K. Lots and lots of stuff on the table. Their models are very nice. Perhaps not the most flavoursome set of rules for the periods, but I'm sure people will shout at me and disagree with me about that. And then my personal favourite rule set, because, and here's one for you, Dave Bartley, for 6 mil gamers, you know, God's own scale, as some would have us believe, Cold War Commander, which are the modern version of the Blitzkrieg Commander rule set that were done by Pete Jones, who used to run a War Games forum. They're a development out of kind of some of the War Master mechanisms. Now, I think, in their second edition, designed for kind of small-scale gaming, a single-volume rule set. So it's got all of the rules and loads and loads and loads of different army lists for periods, all the way kind of from immediately post-war with things like the Korean War and stuff like that up to ultra-modern. A fantastic, fantastic rule set. Do the combined arms thing really well. 6 mil gaming, you know, is the for me, smaller scales are better for that combined arm stuff, because you can get vehicles and men on the table and do that sort of stuff. Absolutely brilliant. You can get them as a PDF now as well, which means you can stick them on your tablet, iPad, or other generic kind of thing. Absolutely brilliant. Can't recommend them enough.
You like those ones then?
They are probably my favorite, because for me, that, you know, modern gaming kind of crosses, really kind of straddles across three scales, if you like. You've got the really low level, low model count. It's a squad of men, which 28 mil lends itself to. You've kind of got the bit in the middle, kind of platoon sized actions, where you might have a few vehicles and a few men. I generally like that at about 15 mil scale, and there's a lot of really good manufacturers out there for that. But I really like 6 mil gaming. I think it's my preferred for getting lots of tanks on the table. And, you know, Flames of War tries to do that, I think, in 15 mil, but you lose the maneuver element. You lose the idea of scale, and your table ends up looking a bit like a car park.
So what constitutes modern gaming? I mean, where does modern gaming fall as a period? Is it basically post-World War II?
Yeah, I mean, really, yeah. Anything kind of post-World War II. So, you know, there are a number of conflicts there. And as I say, sort of when I talked about the Cold War Commander, you're talking everything really from sort of the Korean War. You've got, you know, the three, four, if you count 1982, Arab-Israeli wars, Vietnam, the Indochina version earlier with the French, a whole gamut of kind of African and low-level insurgency-type warfare. Soviets going into Afghanistan, the stuff that happened in the kind of the Baltics and Ukraine, although I don't see that played a lot, and up to, you know, kind of Gulf War and Operation Enduring Freedom and the likes that have taken place in places like in Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, and the forays into places like Somalia and Sierra Leone and places like that. So yeah, really, you know, there is something for everyone. If you don't like or don't want to play something in a conflict that's currently ongoing, because, you know, some people genuinely feel uncomfortable with that, because, you know, there are people out there still dying fighting
I
those
must admit,
conflicts.
I must admit, I mean, that's one of that's where I sort of fall on this. So
yeah,
I have to.
And in fairness, you know, many of the rule sets that I've already spoken about are kind of not necessarily unapologetic, but do acknowledge the fact that, you know what, we are not attempting to trivialize what's going on by turning it into a game. But to my mind, that's more about the gamer than the rule set, because, you know, you can play some of those games and actually it's, you know, it doesn't demean what's happened and those lives that have been lost out there or are continuing to be lost. But I do fully appreciate for people that want to do modern gaming, that's a little too close to home. And in fairness, I know for certain generations of American gamers, actually, they won't want to play the Vietnam game. They won't want to do that because, you know, for whatever their political or personal reasons, you know, it's too close to home.
Yeah. So what about figures?
Figures, I've got a nice list, and we'll do, like we did kind of with the World War II one, just running down in scale for the Twitterati. I will forget people. I won't talk about people. Please don't shout at me. starting with 28mm, these are a couple of my favourites. The Assault Group have...
That's normally TAG, isn't it? That's abbreviated.
Generally abbreviated to TAG. Do quite an expansive range of modern figures. You know, there are some in there that are kind of more guerrilla civilian-y based. There are kind of conventional moderns in full modern kit. What you would call heroic 28s, which really means kind of more like 32mm, relatively chunky in style, but they do paint up very nice. They are of the Copplestone style, if you like, and I think that was, is it Steve Sally that does?
Steve Sala.
Sala, that's it, that does Assault Group, is out of that kind of same stable as...
Yeah, yeah, he was one of the, when Foundry went through their second sort of golden period after the Perrys,
yeah.
He was one of their main sculptors at that point.
Yeah, really nice figures, good broad range, not too pricey, and give you the scope to do most of what you'd want to find. One of the newer kids on the block is Empress Miniatures. Have a small range, probably slightly more anatomically correct than Assault Group, if I dare say that, for any miniature. But, you know, they are kind of some bang-up-to-date stuff, so you've kind of got the sort of contractors and SEAL teams that are out in the more recent conflicts in the last sort of 10 or 15 years. Some really nice figures, again, at the 28mm scale. So you're potentially talking kind of lower numbers, higher character for figures. They fit in really well. And then a range that I've not got any figures for yet, but having seen them in the flesh at sort of various shows, Red Star Miniatures. They're a European company, I think, based on the continent. They started their modern range by doing a kind of Russians into Chechnya range. Again, quite chunky, but some really, really nice miniatures in there. Some good variations in kit, you know, both clothing and weaponry, which is kind of accurate for what you see in the Russian army these days. There is a divergence of stuff and between units. Some really, really nice figures, and certainly some that I may treat myself to in the future. Coming down into 20mm, the daddy of kind of 20mm modern stuff is Rolf Hedges' Liberation Miniatures range. I know he's had some issues with kind of web presence, but it is a massive range. It is the Gandhi of ranges for modern miniatures. There is a cast of thousands. and he has everything kind of... In fact, when we said, what's modern gaming? If it's modern gaming, there will be a figure for it somewhere in that Liberation Miniatures range.
And that's rhmodels.com.
Yeah, that's right. Very similar in kind of sculpting style to Britannia Miniatures. So for any historical type people out there that have encountered Britannia Miniatures before, kind of, again, a slightly chunky style. But, you know, they paint up really, really nicely, very resilient on the tabletop. The other range that is worthy of mentioning, though I think in 20mm, is Elheim, and pardon the pronunciation, Elheim Miniatures, sculpted by Matt. He's broadening his range of 20mm miniatures, again, slightly more anatomically correct, but some really, really nice figures. They paint up superbly well. Into my preferred scale, or one of my two preferred scales, into 15mm, I've got to say, Peter Pig, their AK-47 range, probably was one of those that started really kicking off kind of the modern wargaming in that scale. Started with their AK-47 rule set and a figure range to complement that. Anyone who's done, again, historical game probably knows of Peter Pig, knows that the 15mm stuff that he does is really good. And it's broadened now to include kind of modern French, modern Americans, as well as kind of the African militia. Very expansive range, very good value, paint up superbly well. I've got lots and lots and lots of those. From a vehicle point of view, Quick Reaction Force, or QRF, do a very expansive range of 15mm vehicles. I kind of guess you'd almost call them a bit old school because they still sculpt by hand, whereas obviously these days a lot of the new vehicle making companies will be doing stuff in CAD and 3D printing, which makes for sort of sharper corners and sharper detail. But actually, the QRF range is very expansive. They wear the badge with pride that they were being used a lot by the British military in the late 20th century for vehicle recognition type stuff. So as such, you know, they've got a really good range. Couple of new kids on the block. Kurasan Miniatures are doing some nice 15mm modern stuff, and a company called Flytrap Factory are both, you know, both of those are kind of relatively new to the scene, but are producing some really nice vehicles and really nice miniatures. Skipping down into 10mm.
Oh, you're going to have to skip fast because you're well over time.
Am I already? Well, we've only got 6 and 10mm to go. 10mm, Pendragon Miniatures have got a Vietnam range, which is very nice, and are working on a Falklands range. I love Pendragon Miniatures. They're great. And they're supplemented by Minifigs, who God knows where their web presence is these days, but they do. And they were, you know, a slightly of the larger 10mm variety. Minifigs do some infantry and vehicles across modern range as well. Just as a side note, if you're into 10mm, they can be supplemented by some of the Japanese, almost the toy market that we're producing, the pre-painted 144th scale. They'll mix in well, so there is that alternative option there, and that, you know, that you're buying pre-painted stuff then. And whipping down in a 6mm, Scotia Grendel and Heroics and Ross kind of are the old school 6mm manufacturers. Most of my 6mm modern stuff, though, is GHQ and CNC. It is the, and I said in the World War II, they are kind of the Lamborghini of quality for the 6mm stuff. Absolutely brilliant, but you do pay for what you get. So, and again, they will cover everything that we said was modern gaming from sort of career onwards. And that's them. How was that for me running on for 15 or 20 minutes?
You did very well. You did very well.
Yeah, I mean, I like modern gaming. It's something that, you know, not everyone's into, but it does give you the options for the slightly more sensible. And, you know, we've done one about our experience with the Kung Fu rules. You know, that's great for the pulp stuff. But if you want to do something that's a bit more straight up and straight down and sensible, then hopefully I'll have given you some inspiration and some places to have a look on the web for.
Cool. Right. Well, that has all been Matt, basically.
Yeah.
Sorry. So take us out, Matt.
I've been Matt.
And I've been Mike.
And we'll speak to you soon.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter. We're at Fools_Daily. Or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.